The man coming off a monster year last year, his second year with the New York Giants. The man they call Spider-Man, Brian Burns, joins us. Brian, Sean Morash over there. I'm Evan Roberts. Thanks for coming on today. How are you?
Appreciate you. I'm doing good. What about yourself?
Fantastic. How you feeling? I mean, healthy, good to go for your third year as a New York Giant?
Yeah, man, I'm healthy, solid. I feel good, sure.
Can you believe that we're finally here? And also, your year last year, 16 and a half sacks, best statistical year of your career. Did you feel as good as the way you played, and did you feel it was the best year of your NFL career so far?
Did I feel as good? No, I was banged up, but
that's but a testament to your toughness, man, because we can't see it. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was a solid year, though. I was really happy about how the year went. Left some things that I still can get better at, you know what I'm saying? So it's still some growing to do, but it was a solid year.
What jumps out at you as something you think you could get better at?
Man, I would just say, like, really just keeping my body intact throughout the entire season. Like, it is a long season, but, you know, at a certain point, your wrists start breaking down. You know, just the small things that you don't really pay attention to in the beginning of the season because everything feels good, starts breaking down towards the end. So, you know, just stand on top of that.
The majority of your statistical great season happened under the tutelage of Shane Bowen's defense. Denard Wilson is now in. Giant fans excited about him. What's the biggest difference you see from the defense last year to the defense now Wilson will be running this year?
It's a bit more complex. I would say a few more moving parts. I do like how detailed it is. You know, if everybody's on the same page, it can be a beautiful thing to see. But, yeah, it's just a bit more complex from the defense that we had before.
What was your impression during this offseason with how everything played out with Dexter Lawrence demanding a trade and eventually becoming a former Giant?
Me just understanding the nature of the business. I've been through it. So I kind of can feel both sides, both parties. But, you know, that's just how the business go. And, you know, you hate to see one of your brothers leave, but at the end of the day, you got to move on.
Do you get involved in something like that when you hear the reports, or is it like you said, it's business? I'm not touching it. Let him figure it out.
If he would have asked me for advice, I would give my input, but I wouldn't infer my own advice onto someone that didn't ask for it.
Now, you obviously crash off the edge here with Abdul Carter, Kayvon, and the interior with Dexter Lawrence once occupied. Seems to be a spot, I'm not going to lie, Brian, a lot of Giant fans, if they're picking like worrisome areas, it would be the interior of that defensive line. You've worked with these guys all through camp. Where are we at with the interior of the defensive line and the edge kind of playing off it? How should Giant fans feel about that room?
Well, I feel like they should feel confident. We got two major vets in that room. We got a lot of young talent. But the people that's going to spearhead it, I would say, is DJ and Shelby for sure. And they're going to be the main guys that, you know, that's in there hunkering down the middle for us. So I think they should be excited about it. We got some pieces.
We're talking to Brian Burns of the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, Arvell Reese. We haven't really heard much from him. You have obviously made a point to bring him into certain rooms media-wise. A lot has been made up about the hype with Arvell Reese. How excited should Giant fans be? And compare him to Abdul Carter a year ago, because now you've seen two really high-touted prospects come in and kind of just take this defense and hopefully by storm here for Arvell Reese.
Just comparing the two, they're both very talented. I would just say Arvell's a little more on the quieter side. You know, Abdul will let you hear about whatever he got going on. You know, he'll beat you and let you hear about it. Arvell's more just about action, I would say, unless you get him teed up. But he's been great, man. He's been great. You know, he comes to work. He doesn't say too much. He does what a rookie should do. You know what I'm saying? Being seen, not heard. And those are his words, not mine. But he's been doing amazing, man. I really am glad that we added him to the defense for sure.
Tiki Barber's usually with us, and when he met Tremaine Edmonds for the first time, he texted us and said, "This man is massive." That was his first impression of Tremaine Edmonds. Obviously, you've seen him around the league, first time being a teammate. What's your early impressions of Tremaine Edmonds, one of the newest members of this team and this defense?
Man, Maine's IQ stands out above the other attributes. I mean, obviously, like you said, I've seen him for years, you know, just being around, seeing tape, watching defenses. I've seen him all the time. And we also have the same agent, so pretty close to home. But either way, his IQ stands out to me. It's just like the way, how well he knows ball. And, you know, especially when it comes down to dropping the coverage and, you know, filling out the zones. Like, obviously, he has a 6'5 frame, but it goes beyond that. Like his thought process and the way he breaks down the film and breaks down the routes and fills the patterns is what impresses me. So
there's another one of your teammates you had last year into this year in Deontay Banks that's gaining a lot of hype and steam that he might be turning around the narrative that's featured him. How much should Giant fans buy into like the rebirth of Deontay Banks here with Denard Wilson being around him this summer?
Man, I would just say like, just speaking from my experiences and what I've seen, this is the best ball I've seen him play since I've been here. So, you know, that speaks volumes to him, you know, putting the work in himself, you know, being hungry, you know, leaning towards coaching. And that also, you know, gives a lot of props to Denard and Addison and Double D for, you know, putting that work in and getting all those guys right. Because, you know, it isn't just him that's playing great ball, but he is one guy that has been standing out in camp, so.
We're talking to Brian Burns of the New York Giants. So obviously the coaching change gets made in the middle of the season. So you knew for a while, all right, I'm going to get like your 15th next head coach, because it's amazing. You've had a billion head coaches your time in Carolina and even here with the Giants. When they're interviewing guys as an NFL veteran, you sitting there saying, oh, God, you got to get me John Harbaugh. That's the guy. What was your feeling around that search and your feeling towards the possibility and now inevitability of John Harbaugh being your NFL head coach?
Yeah, when I seen it all, you know, all unfold, I was definitely in Harb's corner. And to see that we actually, I mean, at the time, to see that we actually got him, I was very happy, very ecstatic. You know, it was my first time having not my first time, I wouldn't say that. But this is one of the main times I've had, like, an established head coach. You know, been doing it for a while, doing it for a long time, has a winning culture. And it's been great to see since I've been here. So it's been amazing.
I would say that with that, the fans have also embraced the John Harbaugh feel to all this. You've seen a lot of losing football, unfortunately, not because of you. How excited, and you know, you've been around teams that have been teams that have been good. How excited should the Giant fans be in like realistically dreaming that bad times are fully behind this organization?
They should be excited, man. I mean, it's definitely something to be excited for. You know, we got the roster, we got the talent. You know, now we have the coach. I feel like it's just like a dream come true. I feel like this is one of those perfect stories. Not to sit here and say like everything's going to be perfect. We're going to hit adversity at some point, but at the end of the day, I'm comfortable and I'm confident in the guys that we have in the building, team and coaching staff wise, that you know we'll be able to overcome anything that hits us along the way.
The thing we've always heard is that John Harbaugh practices hard, and guys get, you know, they really go through it. Have you felt that, and how do you feel as we approach the start of the year with your first camp led by someone who has the reputation of being, you know, tough and hard on his players in terms of practicing in John Harbaugh?
Yeah, you feel the work, but I feel like Harbs is a guy and his energy is so infectious, the fact that it kind of make you want to go out there and work hard. I know, you know, the day is going to stack up and your body's going to feel sore and things of that nature, but me coming in as a rookie, that's what I went through. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just now turning a new leaf of like the science and everything that goes into football as far as why we get so many, you know, breaks, and you know how the science works with the whole body and all that. But when I came in as a rookie, camp was hard. Camp was camp. You know what I'm saying? It was no days off like that. It was just like work, and then you knew what you was getting yourself into. So
this organization has gotten off to notorious slow starts weeks one and week two. Now seeing how Harbaugh has pushed you guys in practice, you guys survived that heat and humidity in Miami as well. This is a Cowboy game coming up in 2 weeks in week one. Giant fans salivating to finally beat them again. Do you think this team's more prepared to go out there and try to handle their business to start a year compared to past years?
I mean, I've only been here for 2 years, so I don't want to speak too much on the past years. But
I got you.
I definitely feel like we're ready this year. And it's not so much to speak as in comparison to last year. I just feel like it's a different feeling around the building. I feel like the coaches have prepared us well. The instructions are clear as to what we need to do, and the expectations are clear. So, you know, that's all I really say on that, but I definitely think we're ready.
Brian Burns of the New York Giants. For those that are unaware, tell us the background behind the Spider-Man nickname that you got, I think, back in college.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was just, you know, just fooling around in practice, just, you know, doing things, hanging out, whatever, with my teammates, and one day I just hit a pose, and everybody was confused as to what I was doing. And I didn't really have like a motive or like a plan or anything for this. It just kind of happened. And then that week we played Wake Forest. I think after my first or second sack, whichever one it was, I went ahead, did the pose, and I got a crazy picture out of it. And ever since then, it kind of just blew up. from college on to now. So,
did you like the new movie?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, it was good. It was real good. It's doing crazy numbers right now, actually, but it was real good.
I'm curious as a Spider-Man fan, because I'm not, but I saw it. My son wanted to see it. I thought it was better than the Tobey Maguire movie. I got to be honest. Am I crazy for thinking that?
I wouldn't say you're crazy. I mean, the Tobey movie was what?
A long time ago. Almost
25 years ago,
yes,
or something like that.
Yeah, something.
So, you're not crazy for thinking that, but it was definitely a good movie. I would have liked a little more violence, but
it was- I like it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Fair point. How many wins this year? What are you thinking? 10 wins? 9 wins? Where are we at?
Man, I'm not getting into no win. That's I'm going to leave that to Twitter, man. I'm just here to put the work in.
We'll get it done, Brian. We appreciate you coming on. Good luck. Stay healthy. Thanks for hopping on for a few.
Appreciate y'all.
Brian Burns of the New York Football Giants here on a Giant Day. Earlier today, Joe Shane joined the morning guys. Same with John Harbaugh. We'll talk to Isaiah Likely in a couple of minutes. You get all excited?
I am excited.
He's your best defensive player. He was a monster last year. And he tells you, yeah, I was banged up all year. Meanwhile, the guy played every snap, essentially, and had 16 and a half sacks.
Burns is tough as nails, man. He has me excited for Oliver Reese. And I wanted to ask him about Deontay Banks. He had a great answer about that, too, because that feels like the big question around Giants fans. Like, we've seen Deontay Banks. He hasn't been good, but this camp just seems like the narrative's changed. He feels like the one guy under this coaching staff that everything seems to be changing for, and it's good to hear a teammate back up that thought.
Yeah, I think he's got to go do it in the regular season for you to actually believe it. But
of course,
better
but that's
than
a
nothing.
Guy around him every day and saw what he was last year. So I love that. I'm pumped.
What's incredible, and it's not this man's fault, Brian Burns. I remember when we had him on when he first came over here, we played that game of naming all the coaches he had.
Yeah.
He's never been on a team that's had a winning season. And again, it's not his fault. Guy's a wonderful player. Guy's been at the Pro Bowl 3 times. Last year was an unbelievable season. When you're one guy on defense, there's only so much you can do. But he's been in the league since 2019 and has been under 500 every year of his career. If there is a guy who is itching to win, who like can smell victories because he needs it, it's him.
Yeah.
Like, that is unfortunate bad luck to have that throughout your career.
Forget itching. Just frankly deserves. Brian Burns deserves to go play in a playoff game with the career he's had.
No doubt.
So, look, I hope they get off to a fast start. That's why I asked. I know he wasn't there for the 2023 debacle versus Dallas. But I do think, man, what a narrative changer would be if they got off to, just finding a way to win one of those two games to start the year.
Well, the narrative is what right now, 2 weeks before the start of the season? The narrative is optimism.
I think the narrative
is probably the most optimistic I've heard Giant fans in the half a decade.
Evan, I completely agree there's optimism, but I still think in the back of everybody's brains, there's a lot of people still penciling in this team for 0-2 for obvious reasons.
Sure.
It's Dallas and the Rams, and then the schedule, looks like it lightens up. Where I think you switch from, hey, is this a 7-win team? Is this an 8-win team? Is this a 9-win team? Is if you stash one of those two games with Dallas and the Rams in the back pocket, you know the way this town is. We're going to be head over heels if they win week one.
I think there's going to be optimism. Year one is a honeymoon. Like right now, there is a honeymoon period because of the new coaching staff, which I think is totally understandable. I'm a part of that honeymoon as an outsider. And I think that losses early will not be excused, but it'll be, hey, we're building something. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world.
Oh, the 0-2 would not be panicked the way other 0-2s would be.
No, it'd be different because I still think there's a level of trust that this new coaching staff has. And it's going to last for a while. I'm not sure how long. I mean, at some point, yes, there'll be people turning. Yeah. There always is. But I think if they ever won one of the first two games, or dare I say both of those first two games of the year, I think it would go from optimism to like crazy optimism. Like you talking about George Lombard Jr. Like very similar.
What I have. Well,
they could go win the Super Bowl.
Jackson,
they'd be
Dalton, Canton.
Yeah, things like that.
I'm going to make a promise.
No doubt about it. By the way, that's a part of being a fan.
Yeah.
I might even criticize
if
you for it.
If I say Super Bowl 2-0, clip this. You or Tiki are allowed to slap me in the cheeks. I could put chestnuts in my cheeks. I'll spit them out.
We don't want to do any of that.
I want to be held accountable. I'm not going to say Super Bowl after 2-0.
See, you're very careful, and I know the way you operate. You won't say it. You'll imply it.
I'll imply it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think I'm an evil genius?
Yeah, you won't say we're going to the Super Bowl. Connor knows what I'm talking about.
He'll say they're in the Super Bowl conversation. just like George Lombard's in the Hall of Fame conversation.
Yeah. How about this? Let's just settle for in the hunt in November. How about that?
Listen, man. That's my attitude towards things. Just be in the hunt. Be there. Be relevant. That's the absolute goal. Let's go to Jim in West Babylon. What's up, Jim? Hello, Jim.
Hey, fellas. How are we doing?
Good,
what's
man.
Up, Jim?
What's on your mind?
Tim, sorry, but
my apologies. That is on me.
Worries.
Timmy, what's up, Tim?
No, you're fine. Appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to circle back to the whole OBJ and the nostalgia And I don't understand the hate for people who are excited. Me personally, I like to live in realism. 90% of me knows it's probably not going to be much. If we're anything this year, it's not going to be because of him. But 10% of me kind of hopes for something like, you're looking for a baseball comparison, Alfonso Soriano in 2013, that time period with the Yankees where he went nuclear, you know, and the excitement that that turned up, even though it was a nothing season for the most part, at least by Yankee standards. If we can get an equivalent of maybe two, three games in an NFL season equivalent from OBJ, I think that right there is worth it and very meaningful to Giants fans.
What is so great and kind of funny about your comparison is until you said it, completely forgot Alfonso Soriano had a second to visit as a Yankee. I completely forgot. Now, when you say it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. End of his career, 37-year-old Alfonso Soriano came back. The reason it's forgettable is not his fault. Because when he came back in 2013, you mentioned it, he put up massive numbers. He had 17 home runs in 58 games. The problem was the Yankees just weren't any good.
Yeah, that season's one of the more forgettable seasons in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
If not the most forgettable season.
But I think, and you can go through it, of just the last 25 years, you don't have to get overly cute about it, of guys who were stars or really popular who came back for a second stint, more times than not, it is forgettable.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the one with the Giants, Landon Collins came back for that 2022 and actually was a factor on a team that made the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, there are examples.
It's a different kind of player, but it was a big Giant player for a little bit.
Yeah, I'd have to go bigger than that, though.
Like,
Landon Collins was a fine player.
Yeah, I get it.
But I think Alfonso Soriano, I mean, the guy came this close to hitting a World Series winning home run, was traded for A-Rod. He was a young star with the Yankees. I think Beckham's fair. Jose Reyes, same thing with the Mets. Their second trips are usually just like you forget about it.
That's why I'm curious.
I'll give you a Jet one. You want a Jet one? Yeah. Darrell Revis and Vinny Testaverde.
Good point.
Both of them. They both came back.
You forget Testaverde came back.
But that's what... Forget.
Forget. You do
that's,
forget.
That's my point. And look, the story can be written very differently. Like, if the Giants are good, forget if Odell's the same guy. He's not the same guy. He'll be the first one to admit that.
Right.
But let's say the Giants defy even my expectations. They win 11 games. They win the division. And Odell has a catch in a playoff game, and it's a big one. Then maybe his second tour will be more remembered based on the team's success, because the problem, and not all Odell's fault with his first tenure, is the Giants didn't win anything. They weren't winning a lot of games. They had the one good year, and that year, unfortunately, is best remembered for losing after the Love Boat.
Yeah. I love how you call it the Love Boat.
I just call it that.
The Love Boat was the Vikings.
I know. I call it the Love Boat.
It's just the boat trip.
The boat trip. Yeah, I know they didn't do anything untoward on that boat, right?
I don't think they did. I still can't get over the fact that Roger Lewis Jr. was wearing Timberland boots on a boat in Miami. That's still puzzling.
But you know what?
Can we get some flip-flops, Roger?
That season, and there are seasons like this in New York sports, where you actually had a really good year, but the only thing you remember is the way it ended. And so I'll give you a few that just jump out at me. 2022 New York Mets. They went over 100 games. What do you remember about that season? They choked at the end against Atlanta, and they lost listlessly to the Padres.
Yep.
The New York Giants that year in 2016 won 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
They were 11-5.
A lot of that because of Odell. That team was like one big Odell play and a lot of defense.
1,000%. That's exactly how I used to define it with Joe. I'd say great defense and one slant to Odell a game.
Yep.
And he takes it to the house. Yep. Yet, I say 2016 Giants. What do you say?
Boat trip.
Yeah, boat trip. By the way, completely fair.
Yeah.
There are certain teams that are literally defined. And that's a good year. 11 wins in the NFL, 100 wins in baseball. Those are good years.
I'm shocked.
Nobody gives a crap about them.
So when I say 2022 Mets, what do you say?
I say the collapse against Atlanta and the listless playoff series to San Diego.
And all I think is Musgrove's year.
Fair enough.
I don't know why. That's like the boat trip for me. It's like that. Just watching that night was crazy.
Yeah, but the Mets, for a franchise that has had so few really, really, really good regular seasons, isn't that kind of crazy that regular season, one of the best in their history,
ever.
Gets remembered for all the bad stuff.
Yeah. Forcing Alvarez out there versus the Braves. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. And the 2016 Giants, I think, are actually similar.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's another team that fits that. The 15 Jets. 15 Jets. Because they won 10 games.
Oh,
all you remember is losing to Buffalo.
Yep.
Unbelievable. True.